The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to everybody. Welcome to all of our friends, family, visitors. Welcome. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent, and we journey together knowing that together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. We begin, let us begin with the words as printed in the board. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up.
After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him.
Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord.
His appearance is as sure as the dawn.
I invite all those who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came in the world to free us from sin and death.
Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we invite our children forward for our children's message. And barring any children in the room, welcome, my children. Have some surprise. You must identify the object.
Egg.
An Easter egg, right? So we got an Easter egg, and I got one for each of the kids. I don't have one for each of you all, but I'll put this bag out there, and then you can all figure it out. No fist fighting in the church. Cool. But why would I give them an Easter egg? Is it Easter yet?
No.
It's not. Or is it? is the fifth Sunday in Lent. It's not the fifth Sunday of Lent. It's not like the fifth Sunday of Epiphany or of Christmas or whatever it is, because Sundays do not belong in Lent. They do not belong of Lent, because every Sunday is an Easter. Every Sunday. And today's text is an extra Sunday text of the raising of Lazarus. So I know we're about to enter into Holy Week and Palm Sunday, where we have that whole Passion narrative coming up. But today is a reminder that today is Sunday, and every Sunday is a little Easter. So let us pray. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together and pray out loud. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for Easter.
Thank you for Easter.
Amen.
Amen.
Morning. Our first reading today is from Ezekiel. Hear now the word. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you on your own soil, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today may be found on page 5 of your bulletin. I will read the light print. Please reply with the bold print. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared.
I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits, and your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel for all their sins.
Our second reading today is from the letter to the Romans. Hear now the word. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to John 11, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I know I've made this announcement the last 2 weeks, but I'll do it again. This is an extremely long gospel reading, and so I invite anyone who wants to sit down at any point to do so. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the people were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. for your sake. I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the people had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met with him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The people were there with her in the house, consoling her. They saw Mary get up quickly and go out. And they followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the people who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. So the people said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you will always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the people, therefore, who had come with Mary, and who had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
As they say, oh my, how time flies. Hard to believe that Lent is almost over. You know, Palm Sunday will be next Sunday, and then we're off to Holy Week. And I'll step back to the camera. Before we get there, though, we get the raising. Has this particular position in the Gospel of John, which is really a two-book gospel. The first part of the Gospel of John is about the seven signs that Jesus performs. Scholars call it the Book of Signs. It ends with the raising of Lazarus. And then we proceed to the second part of the book, which is called the Book of Glory, because this is Jesus' word to describe what is about to happen. And there is the paradox that we will spend the next 2 weeks trying to unpack. The glory of God manifested, clearly shown in his crucifixion and death. Or as John will say, this is the crowning of Jesus the King, the moment when he is lifted up. But before we get to that, believe me, we'll get to that in depth the next 2 weeks. John pauses to give us this picture, the song of the raising of Lazarus. Now, I don't want to confuse everyone, but it really strikes me that the raising of Lazarus for John's gospel holds the same purpose that the transfiguration has in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We have two different traditions here. If you'll notice, if you remember, we have the transfiguration right before we start. And it holds that same point in the synoptic gospels, that before Jesus turns to go to Jerusalem, that final journey, we have the transfiguration. It is both stories are occupying that place that says, before the crucible begins, let us understand what the full story is. And as you see, I think John is deliberately playing off this because Jesus says in the text, if you believed in me, you will see the glory. He's connecting this story to the transfiguration. It is, if I would explain it by a way of analogy, it's like if you've ever tried to learn a musical instrument and you've had your instructor there with you. Before you try to learn a new song, the instructor plays that song for you. Might even record the song for you to take home and listen to it in your sleep. And then we'll give you that unhelpful advice of just play it like you hear it. But you get the full picture before that long journey of trying to learn to play the song. I think that is what John is doing for us today. And the song is quite clearly that Christ has come to defeat sin and death. It's this cosmic vision. What is the problem? Sin and death. What is the solution? Is that Christ is going to come, suffer, and die for us. And we might say, hey, but sin and death is baked into existence. And yes, it does appear to be that way, doesn't it? And that is why I think the gospel, the cosmic vision of our gospel writers is they call it a new creation. What is God doing? Creating the world anew. And ultimately, even though this is a mystery, we can't possibly understand it, I think what is being described is exactly that. A new heaven and a new earth, down to the smallest particle out there, will have to be reborn. This is the hope of the gospel. And we get that today. And so, with that, and I want to end quickly because it's a long reading, but I just want to highlight three things too. First, we know at the Transfiguration, it was on the top of a mountain, and there was a bright light, and it was all glory and happy times. Contrast that with our text today, the glory of God is found at the tomb amidst tears. Jesus doesn't bypass the pain, he enters into it. This is the mystery of incarnation. And if it means anything, it means that our God, like each of us, has stood at the tomb and wept. Second point I want to highlight, and I think I forgot to read the last verse of our gospel text, but this is the event that the leaders decide to ultimately put Christ to death. And it makes sense if you pay attention to the world. The world doesn't like it when someone comes bringing in life and fullness. Because our system is based off of scarcity. I was reading, I was listening to some people talk recently about potential advances in medical advances due to the AI, and they were concerned that once the AI heals everybody, that the GDP will crash. You see, people don't want the healing to come, so it's best to silence the one from whom it will be healed. We know this about our appliances too. You know, they build appliances to break in a matter of years. The whole fact that it will die is baked into the greed of our world. And we could go on and on. I don't have to labor this point. Our world will always want to silence and put to death those who bring peace, who proclaim life, who want to point out that we live in a world of abundance already. We will journey with that the next few weeks too. But thirdly, this song that is being played for us doesn't end at the tomb. It doesn't even end with the stone rolled away. It ends when Jesus calls Lazarus by name. Lazarus, come out. This is the symbol of the gospel for us. This is the fractal, if you would, of the whole story. Here is God. And God calls your name out of the tomb. Because you are a child of God. You have Christ's resurrected life in you. And you too will journey to the grave. But also, God will call your name out of the grave. And we will experience the life of the resurrection with Christ. So friends, big 2 weeks coming up. I hope you participated as much as you wish to. We have the full range of events and a special plug for the Easter Vigil. If you've never been to an Easter Vigil, please consider coming to ours. I think it is I can't speak less highly of it, but it kind of makes everything make sense if you come to the vigil. So I encourage you to do that. And we will be turning to the Passion Narrative. We will be turning to a lot of different things in the weeks ahead, in the 2 weeks ahead. But remember what the story is about. Christ comes for us, and Christ calls us out of the grave. And friends, we come to the table. This here also is where Christ meets us, calls us by name. You are mine. This is for you. Amen.
Oh,
reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence. Let us pray for the world and its needs. Pray for the church. Grant life and peace to all who gather in your name. Breathe into us so that we may share your message of forgiveness, hope, and love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for creation. Renew landscapes that have dried up. Prosper the work of those who restore homes and habitats after natural disasters. And sustain places where biodiversity thrives. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the nations. Unbind leaders trapped by fear to act boldly for justice. Free all who live in places of war and violence. And guide refugees and asylum seekers to safety. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all people in need. Take away the stone of poverty that weighs down so many. Console any who weep and heal all who are sick, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Mike, Paul, Jill, Bran, Steve, Kathy, Jerry Ann, the family of Madeline Baltzel. For immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our own nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts.
Kimberly family. Cassie. Marcia.
Jason. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for this assembly. Ready the hearts and spirits of all preparing to be baptized. Deepen our wonder at the mystery of your resurrection and life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We offer our thanksgiving for all people who have died in faith. Give us faith to trust in your power to redeem and save. And bring us up from our graves to life in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and salvation.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
I invite us now to stand for our offering hymn. Let us pray. O God, maker of heaven and earth, your steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its beauty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. And the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this
for the remembrance of me. And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the peoples, and all are welcome to commune at this table, and all means all, which means all, which means all. You are all invited. In a moment, the ushers will come, and we will start on this side, and we will ask you to come forward and fill in our communion rail from right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whichever is most comfortable for you. Only come with your hand extended, and the bread will be put in your hand. And then when the wine comes around, reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. But know that all are welcome here. And if you wish to come forward and just receive a blessing, you may do that also. Just come with your arms crossed, and I'll say a prayer with you. But know that all are invited forward. Amen.
Thank you.
Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our souls, reconciles us to you, and strengthens us for the journey. Through the body and blood of your Son, may we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Well, friends, we pause just briefly for some announcements. And the big announcement is coming up that Palm Sunday is next Sunday, and then Holy Week. Lots of activities coming up, so please pay attention to everything. And we are still in need for various levels of ministry help during that week in terms of assistant minister, and then all that is 8 readings of Easter Vigil. So we need some, we hopefully would like to invite you for some volunteer opportunities if you would like. Next Wednesday will be our last hold in the evening service for Lent. I know it seems like it just was yesterday, but it's your last chance if you want to get some action of holding the evening. Soup at 6, service at 7. And then also want to highlight the grafting demonstration workshop that we were planning. We're postponing that until April 9th. So just still a little around the corner, but not next week. So that'll be April 9th. Look for more information to come about that. And with that, let us receive the blessing. God, who calls all things into existence, Jesus Christ, who redeems us, and the Holy Spirit, whose breath sustains us, bless you now and always. Peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.